the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I would like to welcome all of you for having come to this beautiful Chetna festival. Thank you very much. Each of you is very, very special today because each of your presence is actually inspiring me to speak something. So I will make an attempt. Yes? So the topic that we'll be discussing today is developing determination. Okay? So, I just remember, I don't know if you all had it when you all were in the primary section in school, but I remember when we were in the first standard, I believe, we had a small story in our English textbook. The story was of King Bruce and the spider. How many of you have heard this story? That's all? Okay. So King Bruce of Scotland, he was a king, and once he was on a battle, on the battlefield, and it was a very, very tough battle that he had to fight, and he was almost defeated. Okay? So he had no other option but to just retreat from the battlefield. Yeah, so he just retreated, he ran away from the battlefield, and he took shelter in a cave. Completely remorse, disappointed, frustrated, with no hope. He was absolutely hopeless. And as he lay on that bare ground, absolutely hopeless, feeling so sad, at that time, what did he see? On the wall of the cave, there was a small little spider. Okay, just imagine this. There's a small little spider, and this spider was trying to climb up. And as it climbed up, it was trying to, you know, build a web there, and it would climb up and then start building the web, and it would slip and fall. So it happened once, it happened twice, it happened thrice, and still the spider was again attempting to climb up. And King Bruce was just amazed. He was just amazed at this little spider who was just going up all the way. I mean, you know how small a spider is. Yeah? It just takes that much energy to climb up. And then would just fall down. And again. And this happened so many times. 6 times, 7 times. And King Bruce was just amazed looking at the spider. And finally, the spider was trying again and again, and finally it was successful. So King Bruce was suddenly inspired looking at the spider. And he said, "My little spider, today you are my teacher. You have taught me a very important lesson in life." So what do you think? What is the lesson that the spider taught King Bruce? Try and try. Yeah? So this is a lesson of determination. Yeah? Just continue. Yeah? There's failures, there's obstacles, there are things coming your way, things not happening the way we want it to be, but just try. Yes? So this is basically a very, very important quality that we need to have in every phase of our life. Do you agree? Yes? You feel it's important that we talk about determination? Yes? Okay. So we will first start off by understanding what is the definition of determination. Anyone? It's a very small group, so I don't think y'all should hesitate to speak. Come on. discriminating between right and wrong and choosing the right one. Okay, very good. Anyone else?
Never giving up.
Never giving up. Yes, very good. Choosing what we want to do? From the bottom of our heart. Okay, so you're very convinced what you want to do, right? Yes, very good. What else?
Believing in yourself.
Sorry?
Believing in yourself.
Behaving yourself.
Believing.
Believing yourself. Yes. Very good. Yes, so the dictionary meaning of determination is firmness of purpose. You're fixed in your purpose and your intention. Nothing. So resolute, so fixed, so firm that nothing can move you away from it. And it's very interesting. You see the word determination? Determination. What is termination? To stop. Right? To cease, to stop something. And determination means not to stop. Right? It's very interesting. So nothing can terminate one's resolve, one's intention, one's purpose. One is fixed in it, come what may. Yeah? The second part that we need to understand is, do you think we see this quality around us in our day-to-day life? Do you see this quality of determination around us? Yes? Everyone sees? Yeah? Some way or the other. Right? And there are so many stories that we hear of inspiring determination by some individual. Right? In history, and so much of inspiration you get. In fact, there are so many things that we see around us that we are able to rather enjoy or accept because someone strived for it with determination. Just like this electric bulb up there. Yes? For this electric bulb, who was the one who invented the electric bulb? Edison. Do you know how many experiments he did to finally get this electric bulb? Yeah? More than that. Thousand is a very small figure. Close to 8,000 experiments. 8,000 times, almost. I'm missing the exact figure. But around 8,000 times, Edison failed. Failed. Completely failed. Before he finally got this electric bulb. 8,000. Can you imagine this number? 8,000. We may try once, we may try twice, we may try 20 times, and we say that's enough. But what was his approach? What was his approach? Every time he failed, what do you think he thought? Anyone? You know what he said? He said, at least I know one more way that it doesn't work. Isn't that an amazing way to look at things? Yes? And he tried again, and again, and again. Almost 8,000 times. That's one example. Another example, have you all seen the aeroplane? Yes? How many planes land in Mumbai, take off from Mumbai? Right? Aviation is a huge thing. But who were the first people to? Yes. Invent something flying. The aeroplane. Is he? Wright brothers. Right? It's very interesting. This is what the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century. That these two brothers, ordinary people, not scientists or anything like that, they had this desire that man should fly. And at that point of time, that was a crazy desire. Everybody is laughing at them. Are you crazy? It's birds who fly. Man doesn't fly. Man can't fly in the sky. But these Wright brothers, they were so keen and so determined They were trying so many things, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. In fact, they became the laughing stock of everyone around. Everyone just ridiculing them, a crazy bunch with no work to do, that they're trying something like this. And they did attend something, and they called a lot of people to come and see their, you know, first flying demonstration. What do you think happened? Everything just collapsed, and people even ridiculed them more. You're crazy, we already told you. It just doesn't happen. So much of ridicule, so much of negativity. In fact, the press even said that, are they flyers or are they liars? Are they just lying? So much of negativity. But still, they were so determined, they just continued. Again and again and again. And with so many accidents. A number of times, as I was just going through, you know, their whole thing of how they went through it, it's amazing, so many times, it's a number of times that they had accidents, just saved from death, broke their skull, broke their bones, it still continued. Again. That requires an immense amount of determination. Don't you think so? Yes. And rest is history. Yeah. Now you see the same aeroplane flying everywhere. Yeah. So that's one example. In India, we know, when India was under the British rule, right? Our history textbooks are filled with stories of so many people who fought for India's independence. Yes? So determined. Under so much oppression, struggle, difficulties, but it just went on. Focused, right? Mahatma Gandhi and so many of them, right? So determined. There's another very, very nice example of determination against all odds. There is this sports lady called Wilma Rudolph. Maybe Mandala Mathuji knows. She's an American sportswoman. She was very, very famous in the 60s. So she was the first American lady to win 3 gold medals in the Olympics. And her background is amazing. It's an amazing background of fighting with determination against all odds. She was born in a very poor black family. And this is the time of the 50s, 60s, when there was a lot of racism, whites and blacks in America. So coming from a poor black family itself was a big challenge. And then, when she was very small, she got something like polio and she was crippled. So the doctor said, this girl can never walk. She can never walk. So they gave her braces and very difficult, very difficult. But then she and her family were so determined. Her mother especially was so determined. She was doing all sorts of things to somehow get this girl to start walking. And after some years, she was quite successful in doing that. But Wilma didn't stop there. She had greater aims. She was determined to run. And she ran. And the first time she ran, it was not that she stood first. She stood last. Yeah? But that didn't stop her. She was so determined. She ran and ran and ran till, what I said, she was the first American lady to win 3 gold medals in athletics in Olympics. Yeah? So innumerable examples. I mean, you just go through so many examples. In fact, you don't even have to look at history. The very fact that all of you have come on a Saturday evening to come to listen to some class like this, when there are so many other options on a Saturday evening in Mumbai, shows a lot of your determination. Yeah? In fact, for everything, we need determination. You see people traveling on the Virar fast train to church gate. Yes? That really requires a lot of determination to get into this crowded trains day in and day out and travel. Yes? Fighting everything with all your stress and all the pressures and going all the way. Students, yes? Most of you are students? Yes? Do you think it requires determination to study? It does. Yeah? Every day. Going through everything. Yeah? It requires a lot of determination. So determination is a quality that we see almost everywhere. Is this determination only among the humans? Yes? Or is it seen also in other species? Yeah? Loudly, I can't hear. It is? Okay. Any examples? Which? Ants. Yes, who said ants? Yeah, tell me. Why do you think it's determined? Yes, ants are very, very determined. You see them going in the line? Very determined. You stop, they'll move here, there, they will go. Right? They're supposed to be the most hardworking species. Yeah? Constantly focused on what they're doing. Yes. Any other example? Birds? Yes. Who's it? Yeah. Tell me. They're very fixed in purpose. Another example is that of a butterfly. You see a butterfly? What comes before the butterfly? Is the butterfly born as a butterfly? Yes? Is a butterfly born as a butterfly? Then what is it before it becomes a butterfly? A caterpillar. Right? A caterpillar. And this caterpillar has a cocoon? Yes? And when this caterpillar comes out from the cocoon, it's tough. It has to struggle and, you know, so much of pain, and it has really got to struggle, but it's determined to complete that struggle, and out of it comes a beautiful butterfly. Right? Another very, very beautiful example is that of the Mother Ganga, River Ganges. You know where she starts from? Right from the Himalayas, the Gangotri. Yeah? She comes down all the way from the Himalayas, right up to the sea. It's very steady, very focused, just going on. Now you can try doing this experiment of putting a huge boulder somewhere on the path or trying to do something, but Ganga won't stop. Just keep flowing. Either around it, above it, below it, anywhere, but just go. It's very straight, very focused on the land. Yes? So nature also has so many species which demonstrate this quality of determination. Right? But if we actually see most of this determination, or the motivation for determination, is essentially for what? One, for survival. Yes? For survival. Whether it is the animal species or even amongst the humans, most of this determination is for survival. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Why do you get up in the morning with such determination and go to college? How many of you go to college? Oh, that's a huge number. So one of you can represent. Why do you go to college? Do you become successful? Today you go to college, tomorrow you become successful?
To live a better life.
Yes, very good. Anything else?
To live a better life.
To live a better life. But how do you plan to achieve that better life? Sorry?
The strong determination.
Strong determination. But how will going to college give you a better life? Just think about it. This is not trying to question you or anything. Just think about it. Just think about it. Why do you think you get up in the morning and go to college? Is it nice? Is it very pleasant? You love to go to college and listen to the professor's wonderful voice. Is that why you go? Or it's such a wonderful holy place that, you know, you just feel so peaceful and at ease there. Is that why you go to college? So why do you go to college? To earn our daily bread and butter in the future. Do you agree? Any other reason why you go to college? So many of you are going to college. Why? I won't say right, wrong. Please speak. Why? For knowledge? Why? Why knowledge? To achieve something in the future. Why? To get some stability and to survive. But why? Why you want to survive? Yes, that is our basic nature, that we want to survive. Every living entity wants to live. But then this is our motivation, that we want to survive, and also the desire that if I do this, if I go to college, I have my attendance, and if I have my attendance, yes, then I'll be allowed to appear for my exams. Right? And if I appear for my exams, then I get a degree. Is that right? And if I get a degree, then I get a good job. Yes? And if I get a good job, that means I make good amount of money. Yes? And if I make good amount of money, then I'm happy. Yes? Yes? Am I right? Is there anyone who disagrees with this? Usually, this is the thought process. And that's what pushes you early in the morning to get up from bed, where if given an option, you would just lie down. Yes? But that's what pushes us. And that's what pushes people to go on that crowded Virat train or push and do and slog it out. Why? What is this motivation for this determination? Survival, and your intelligence says, I'll be happy after I do this. Right? The promise of happiness and the faith that I'll achieve something better. Yes? Are you all with me? Does it make sense? Yeah? Yes. So the most of the examples that we see around us for determination is based either on survival or sense enjoyment. Some pleasure. Yeah? People do many things. Yeah, maybe so, you know, it's something adventurous or ready to spend a lot of money and determined to do it for some enjoyment of the senses. Yes? So, essentially, most of the determination that we see around us or amongst us or within us fall into this category. Yes? You agree? I can't hear.
Yes.
Okay. I understand we are going on the same track. Okay. So the next thing that we need to understand is, what are the different grades of determination? Determination is there. Everyone has it. But what are the different types of determination? Okay? So it's explained that there is something called as determination, which is the lowest mode, the mode of ignorance. So what is this type of determination? It's a very unintelligent determination. That means the person who has this determination only can give pain and destruction to himself by his determination, and pain and destruction to everyone around. No benefit to himself, no benefit to anyone around. But he strives with that for determination. Any examples you can think of? Any examples of people who had a lot of determination? Undoubtedly, a lot of determination, but which is the lowest intelligence, which never benefited them and never benefited anyone else in the world. Can you think of some examples? Terrorists. Yes. Very determined. If you actually study these terrorist camps, I don't remember, some maybe a years back, they had this whole article on how they conduct these terrorist camps. And you would be surprised. They undergo so much of austerity. They have such a strict lifestyle. You know, they actually sacrifice living with their family. So many things. These terrorists and suicide bombers, they know they're actually going to lose their life. But still, they're determined. Huh? What an amazing determination, right? But it's unintelligent determination. It's absolutely in the low level, the mode of ignorance. Not beneficial to them, not beneficial to anyone else. Any other examples? Hitler, yes. Yeah. So determined. Can you imagine World War II? Germany, I mean, practically Germany was, rest of all the countries around, not much. But Germany, just by Hitler's determination, he got into this World War II. And what massacre, what destruction. Huh? One man's unintelligent determination, not beneficial at all. Any other examples? Sorry? Yes, Duryodhan, Ravana. Huh? Ravana had so much determination. Do you know how many years he and his brothers did tapasya? So much austerity. It was not austerity, he was in the blazing fire and icy cold water, and he was doing so much austerity, not for one day, 2 days, 3 days. Thousands of years. So determined, so fixed. You can't do something for, you know, 100 years and years if you're not determined. Right? But determination for what? Huh? It was just a power hungry, cruel monster. So this is determination in the mode of ignorance. Right? So when we see determination, we don't understand where is it. So this is mode of ignorance. A little higher than that is determination in the mode of passion. In the mode of passion, this determination is such that the person is determined for sense enjoyment. Huh? Maybe economic development, sense enjoyment, maybe for himself or herself or for the people he loves. So it's I, me and mine. Huh? And I'll do anything for that. I don't care. Very determined to do it. Any examples? Are you all thinking? Any examples?
Choreographers.
Sorry?
Choreographers.
Choreographers?
Yeah, they are determined. Means they come up with the different steps. Every time they do even a lot of hard work.
Okay.
But it's a passion. It's no use. I mean, they leave their studies for everything and they go into, come into this, I mean, choreographing and all this. But but for the sake of only money, nothing else. Mm-hmm. It's for the passion.
Mm-hmm. Any other examples? Sorry? All of us. Essentially, in the present corporate world, for example, people are so determined. I don't know how many of you are working, but it's a tough life, working. There's no work hours. Everyone is working and slogging. I have to become the CEO. And I don't mind whose head I step on, who I pull down. I have to achieve it. It's 24/7, literally. Huh? So many. And so much of a crab mentality. If I don't go up, no one else goes up. Yes? Does that sound familiar? Yes. So, there's a very nice example. It's called as a crab mentality. If you keep a basket with crabs filled in, no crabs will go out. Yes, you can rest assured. Don't keep a lid at all. None of them will go out. Why? Because even if a crab attempts to move up, the other crab is going to pull them down. And that is the present civilization. That is most of the corporate world is that. I go ahead. I don't care who is gone off. I'm determined. I need to achieve that and I will. Whose head I break, on whose head I step, whom I remove. Now, most of the society that we see, we call civilized, but there are a lot of people who are determined, but determination in the mode of passion. A higher than that is determination in the mode of goodness. So it's explained in the Bhagavad Gita that this determination in the mode of goodness is unbreakable, very fixed. Yes? With this type of determination, the person is thinking of the benefit of others, not of his or her own benefit. Very nice example is that of Mother Teresa. Yes, in the ordinary sense. She hardly had anything, but she was trying not for her own self, but to give the benefit to so many others. Yeah? Determined, continued on for years and years till she became very, very old. Yeah? Even in her old age, she was trying to help so many people. Yeah? There are a lot of people in the mode of goodness, trying to help, not thinking of their own benefit. So these are the three levels. But at this point, we need to also understand that can there be a determination higher than this also? Determination for something higher than even this. So, as we enter into that, I just want you to think about something. Just think for a minute that is there anything that you possess or thing around you which is permanent? Just think about your life. Is there anything that you possess and anything that is around you which is permanent? Are you all thinking? Okay. Anything? Yes? Parents' love is permanent. Okay. Soul. Okay. Spiritual enjoyment, okay? God, okay? Air, okay? Anything else? Sorry?
Good name.
Good name. Mm-hmm. Sun's rays. Anything else? Okay. So, the one thing, other than that, anything permanent? Your degrees? Your health? Your bank balance? Yeah? Sorry? Death takes it away. God's mercy. So basically, none of these other things, which we are all with so much determination, and the whole world with so much determination, is working for, is permanent, right? Now you spoke about things which are permanent, like parents' love and sun rays, right? What else we said? Soul. So basically, we'll come to the soul a little later. But all these other things, this whole creation, for that matter, is certified by the Creator as Dukhalayam Asashvatam. It is temporary and full of miseries. Okay? So that would answer a lot of other things. Yeah? But then the Creator who is created says the first lesson in the Bhagavad Gita is to understand that we are not this body, but we are
soul.
Spirit soul. It's the first teaching. That we are not this body and we are the spirit soul. And this body is temporary. Yeah, so that's what I made you think. Right? So the body is temporary. But what is eternal is the soul. So that is what is permanent. So that means if this body is temporary, so any investment that I make in this body is going to be? It's going to be? Why isn't it loud?
Temporary.
Right? If this body is temporary, then any investment that I make on it is going to be?
Temporary.
Is this concept clear? But the soul is eternal, so any investment there is going to be eternal or permanent. Right? Now, if you are an intelligent investor and you have to invest in a scheme, if the person who is coming you to get the investment done tells you, oh, sir, this thing will, you know, you invest in it, but it can shut down anytime. Okay, and I can't assure you of any returns. I don't know when it can shut down. I can't even give you a date. But when you invest on it, it's very promising. Would you invest?
No.
Would you invest?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Why you wouldn't invest? Because there is no promise, there is no hope. Yeah? It seems like there is nothing, no future to this plan. Right? But amazingly, this body can also shut down anytime. Right? Anytime. There's no date. Huh? And you don't know how much returns you will get from it. But then, we are striving with lot of determination for this body. Right? So the very nice example that Srila Prabhupada always used to give is that of the parrot and the cage. The body is like the cage and the soul is like the parrot. Right? Now, in a parrot, in a cage, what is important? Parrot. Is the cage not important at all? It is important also. But if you had to compare two, then what is more important is the parrot. But both are important. Right? But if with all my determination, I spend 24 hours just polishing that cage. And I use all my intelligence to, you know, coat that cage with gold and platinum and it looks like really shining. And I have my best technology and this cage can swing at a particular, you know, frequency. And it makes a nice music and it's very fascinating. And with my artistic abilities, I have a lot of intricate designs on that cage. But I just forget to feed the parrot. Do you think that has any value? Anyone who thinks it has any value? How many of you think it has any value? And how many of you think that doesn't have value? How many of you think it has value? No. How many of you think this doesn't have value? And how many of you think you can't think about it? So, when you take care of the cage, it's also important that we take care of the parrot. Right? The purpose of the cage is for the parrot. You agree? So if the taking care of the cage happens without taking care of the parrot, then it doesn't make sense. With whatever determination I take care of the cage, but if I don't take care of the parrot, it just doesn't make sense. But at the same time, it just doesn't mean that I neglect the cage. Similarly, what we need to do with determination needs to be done not just for the body, but also for the soul. Just like feeding the parrot is important, giving food to the soul is also important and also needs to be done with great determination. And that is what the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains. A person who does that is giving food to the soul, that determination is called Dhrida Vrata. A firm determination. And this determination is much, much higher than all the other grades of determination that we saw. We saw in the mode of ignorance, we saw in the mode of passion, we saw in the mode of goodness. And in the mode of goodness, the highest type of determination is this, Dhrida Vrata. Very firm, very convinced that I also need to feed the soul. Yes? And in feeding the soul and taking care of the soul, my determination is so strong that come what may, I will not succumb to any temptation, any aversion, and my focus remains intact. That is called spiritual determination. And what is the food for the soul? The food for the soul is to connect to the Supreme Lord. When you establish that connection, that is the food for the soul. That is keeping the Lord as the center of our lives. Whatever we do, we are taking care of the cage, but at the same time, taking care of the cage, keeping the priority of taking care of this soul. Taking care of the body, keeping the priority as taking care of this soul. Because that is the real I. The real me is a soul. So when we have the determination, Dhrida Vrata, this vow of determination, that this spiritual determination is my priority. My connection to the Supreme Lord is my priority. And come what may, whatever temptations, whatever aversions, I cannot be pushed off. I will continue. That determination is higher than all other determinations. And that determination is so powerful that it benefits everyone. Yeah? We will see examples of how this is. And this is very special. Because this can be understood only by humans. Only a human can understand. Who am I? What is the purpose of my life? How can I be determined to achieve that purpose? We can't talk this to animals, can we? No. Why? Because a human can discriminate. What is right? What is wrong? What direction am I going? So that is why once Srila Prabhupada was asked that what if we don't have this determination? So Srila Prabhupada said that if you don't have this type of determination, then you're like an animal. Right? An animal. If we cannot discriminate what is good for me, not just for this body, but me, the soul, the real me, if we do not understand, then the determination is like an animal. So as humans, we need to understand that there's something much, much higher. That is the spiritual determination, which is higher than all other types of determination. And to connect this soul with the Supreme Soul and to establish this relationship is the highest determination. So there are beautiful examples of people who have achieved the spiritual determination. There is this beautiful story of Dhruva in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And his story is considered to be the personification of determination. Dhruva was a five-year-old boy. A five-year-old boy. Can you imagine what a five-year-old, a small little boy. But he was insulted by his stepmother. And he was so upset, so angry. So he went to his mother and she guided him. She was helpless. So she said, the only person who can help you is the Supreme Lord. So he goes into this forest, a five-year-old child, alone. Went into this forest with this firm determination that I want to see the Supreme Lord. And because his determination was so strong, Narada Muni comes there. Because when one is sincere and really endeavors with a lot of determination, the Lord arranges. So Narada Muni came there. And Narada Muni says, you're just a five-year-old boy. This is too dangerous. And what you're attempting is very difficult. Please go back. He was just testing him. But Dhruva was so determined. He said, no. I'm sorry. But his desire was that he wanted a kingdom bigger than his father and his grandfather Brahma. So his desire was something material, you would say, right? But he wanted to meet Hari, Vishnu, to get this desire. But since his determination was very strong, Narada Muni gave him this mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He said, you just go to this forest called Madhuvan and you chant this mantra. And Dhruva, he went into this forest. And can you imagine what his determination was? The pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam explain that this child, he was constantly chanting this mantra and the austerity that he was performing, that the first month he just ate some fruits and berries every third day. Once in every 3 days. The next month, he was eating some little grass once in every 6 days. And the third month, he was just drinking little water once in 9 days. Focused completely on just taking shelter of that Mahamantra which Narada Muni had given him. And the fourth month, he was just breathing once in every 12 days. Unimaginable. So focused. And at the end of it, his insincerity and determination was so strong that the Lord actually appeared to him. And he was just a five-year-old child. So he didn't know how to offer prayers. But Lord Vishnu placed his conch shell on the head of Dhruva. And immediately he got the intelligence to offer prayers. And when he started offering prayers, he realized, what was my determination for? He said, I just came thinking I want a kingdom and that is the best and the more bigger than, you know, even my grandfather. But after seeing the Lord, those things seem just like, he said that now that I've got a diamond, my desires, which were there earlier, were just like pieces of glass. What are the pieces of glass and what is a diamond? Both of them shine, right, in the sunlight. But are they the same? No. There's a huge difference between a diamond and pieces of glass, right? A huge difference. And just because Dhruva, he approached the right person, even though he had desires, and he was striving with determination, the Lord raised him to the level where he could be understanding a higher aspect, the spiritual aspect. Another example is Srila Prabhupada. We are actually all sitting here in this temple talking about determination in this beautiful place just because of the determination of Srila Prabhupada. When he was a young man in his 20s, he got this instruction from his spiritual master that you should preach this message of Bhagavad Gita in the Western countries, in the English language. And that was when he was in his 20s. And for almost 40 years in his life, almost 40 years, with maybe a little more, but with no support, with hardly any money, he was just striving day in, day out, with just this focus that I have to fulfill this instruction that my spiritual master gave me. And it was only at the ripe old age of 69, 70 that he actually could go to the West. Not to see how America looks, not to take anything from there. He was pretty happy here. He's very comfortable in Vrindavan. But just for the benefit of everyone else in this world. He was ready to accept all sorts of inconveniences and continue with determination. It's amazing. Right? We were talking of people determined to cause pain to others. We're talking of people determined for their own benefit and for the benefit of people around them. We're talking of people determined to do some good to others. But we are talking of something, a person who's determined, who's ready to put himself in inconvenience to give eternal benefit to everyone else. And determined to do it, not for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years. Steadily. In fact, I'm seeing, you see all those books there? Right next to Srila Prabhupada, this beautiful shelf, which has all those books which are written by Srila Prabhupada. And actually, when he left for the West, he had printed the first canto in India, and he carried those books, and rest, everything, when he went to the West, he translated and printed. But I was listening to this interview by the person who was the printer in Delhi, and where Srila Prabhupada got his first canto printed. And this was at a time when he was alone. A lone old man with no support, with no help, with no one to take him around. But he was fixed that he wants to do this. Why? Because this is what's going to benefit everyone else. Determined. So this printer was talking about this. He was a young man that time, and this old sadhu, he would come every day. Most of the times, not had anything to eat, hungry. He would come in the hot Delhi sun to check the prints. And most of the times, he would not have money. So the printer said, Swamiji, why are you doing it? I mean, why are you so determined on doing this? Why don't you just stop it? You don't have money. You have no help. And doesn't look like there's going to be very soon any help to you. Why are you doing it? It's so easy for you to just stop. And he says this. I told him so many times, Swamiji, just stop it. Why are you struggling? He could have lived an easy life. Srila Prabhupada said, no. I am determined that this is the instruction of my spiritual master and I want to share this with everyone in the world. So this determination is much, much higher than all other sorts of determination. So there are examples of many, many people who strive for the spiritual determination. And these are our ideals. We should have determination to take care of this body, to achieve things with this body, to study or to work. But keeping what is the center? The spiritual determination should be intact. So we come to the last part where you may ask, how do I develop this determination? Yes? So it's a very, very simple formula, which is of 5 D's. Determination starts from D. So even if you forget the rest of the class, not a problem. Just remember the 5 D's. Okay? So the first D is direction. Okay? Just like if you have to go from here to somewhere, you're driving down, you need to know where you are, where you have to reach, what you have to do, where are you situated, how long is it, right? So you need direction. So similarly, we all have determination, but we need to know where we direct the determination, correct? We need to know where we are focused, where we are heading to. So this direction is important. And where does this direction come? It comes from the scriptures, right? It comes from people whom we hear who have determination. And that is the purpose of this seminar. That is the purpose of this program. That we get a sense of direction. So what is the first D?
Direction.
Everyone can hear what's the first D? Yes? First D is?
Direction.
Second is decision. We may hear. We may read. But then we need to decide, right, that this will not just be theory. It's not just some more information. This is something that I want to put in practice. This is something that I want to put as a priority in my life. And unless we do it ourselves, it just remains theory. Right? So we need to be determined to be determined. Right? So we need to take the decision that I want to be determined. Yes? So the second D is decision. And the decision is for us to decide. Yes? And the third D is discipline. What is the third D? Discipline. For anyone to be a disciple, we need discipline. Yes? Any student has to have discipline. Correct? So there's a very beautiful example of the Pandavas when Arjuna and the other Pandavas were studying in the school of, who was their teacher? Dronacharya. Right? So one day Dronacharya had kept a test of, he had put a toy bird hanging in a tree and they were supposed to shoot the eye of the bird, right? So Dronacharya called Yudhishthir and he said, now aim at the bird. So he aims at the bird and Dronacharya asked him, so what do you see? So he says, Gurudev, I see the bird, I see the tree, and I see all of you. So Dronacharya said, move, don't shoot. And he called Bhima. And he also said, I see, you know, my brothers and I see the bird. He said, move, don't shoot. And finally, he called Arjuna. And when Arjuna aimed, Dronacharya asked him, what do you see? And what did Arjuna say? I see the eye of the bird. Do you see anything else? No. I only see the eye of the bird. Do you see the tree? Do you see your brothers? Do you see me? No. I only see the eye of the bird. So focused, so determined. And if our target is so determined, Only then we can achieve it. So even for the spiritual determination, it's very simple. It's not very complicated. All the acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, has made it very simple. How can we be disciplined? A very simple process is chanting the Maha Mantra, which we did at the beginning. When we make it a regular habit to regularly chant a fixed amount of time every day in our lives, that is a discipline. Where we are making it sure that we are enhancing, protecting, maintaining our spiritual determination. With everything else, with your studies and maintaining your life and earning everything. But this discipline of spiritual determination has to be fixed, just like how Arjuna was fixed at the eye of the bird. Yes? So this is the third D. What is the third D? Discipline. The fourth D is distraction to be avoided. Yes? When you're fixed on something, when you're studying for your exams, you know you will not pick up things which are going to take you away. Right? TV is off, movies off, friends off. Right? Because you're focused. Similarly, for this spiritual determination, we need to accept things which will enhance it and reject what is not favorable. Sacrifice that which is not favorable and accept that that's going to enhance our determination. So distraction to be avoided. So what is the first D?
Direction.
Second?
Decision.
Third? Discipline. Fourth? Distraction to be avoided. And the fifth is a desperate need to associate with those who have determination. Yes? Association is very contagious. You become what you associate with, right? So if you stay with people who are determined, you become determined, right? It rubs off very fast. Huh? So associating with those who have determination, and it's desperate. It's not an optional thing. Oh, it's okay. No, because that's our strength. Why? Because when we are doing this, we are actually swimming against the tide. You know when you're swimming? If you swim in the direction of the wave, it's easy. But when you're swinging opposite, what happens? You need a lot of energy. And very soon you get exhausted. So even if you know swimming, you're very good, but you will get exhausted. So what do you need at that time? Help. So someone pulls you across. Yes? You agree? Someone has to pull you across. Come on. So similarly, when we aim for spiritual determination, the rest of the world is opposite. We are swimming against. People will laugh at you. You went to hear a Bhagavad Gita lecture? You went to hear a temple? You're crazy. Huh? So it's opposite. So we need help. Even though we are determined, we need help. And that will come with association. And when we follow these five D's with determination, automatically it's not by our power that we achieve. What it does is attracts the mercy of the Lord. And that will lead us to success. There's a small story of a small sparrow. She had laid her eggs at the shore of the ocean. So the waves of the ocean just took her eggs away. And the small little sparrow came and asked the ocean, oh, where are my eggs? Ocean, I don't care. I mean, she doesn't even need to respond to this sparrow. Where are your eggs? It's gone. So what do you think the sparrow did? The sparrow said, you took away my eggs. I'm going to empty you. I'm going to dry you up. The ocean laughed. A sparrow, you are going to dry me up? But she did it. Everyone was laughing at her, ridiculing her. How are you doing? You're crazy. But she would go take, you know, a drop, go and throw it. Trying to empty the ocean. A sparrow. Impossible task. Right? So, but then, just because she was endeavoring with sincerity, what happened? Garuda, the king of birds, he came to know. And he came and he said, "Now, ocean, if you don't give the eggs, then I will empty you up." And immediately the ocean gave back. So similarly, our efforts are small, but if they are with sincerity and determination, we attract the mercy of the Lord. And then it's success. So I will stop here by saying a small verse from the Bhagavad Gita, which is very, very important. In the second chapter, Krishna explains this verse. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekheha kuru nandana bahushakha hi anantascha buddhayo vyavasayina. It explains that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, those whose intelligence is irresolute is many branched. So we have to be resolute in purpose. So even if you forget the whole class, no problem. Just remember the 5 D's. What is it? Direction, decision, discipline, distraction to be avoided, and desperate need to associate. So thank you very much for your kind attention. I would like to thank the organizers also for giving me this opportunity to present. And I would like to thank Srila Prabhupada and all his disciples. It's because of them that we are sitting here talking about determination. And to all my God brothers and God sisters who have actually put in their inputs, what I have spoken is just a collection of the inputs that I've heard from them. So thank you very much. There'll be some announcements by Akirti Kumari. But before that, we were talking about determination. So if you want to see a person who has really with determination achieved things in his life, it's His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And he is in Mumbai. So he's having a beautiful satsang program on the 26th of January, which is a holiday, Republic Day. So in the evening, we are having this program at our ISKCON temple in Juhu on the terrace. So this devotee, Daru Krishna Prabhu, who is organizing this program, has specially sent his invitation to all the girls who have come for Chetna. So there are passes for this program and it would be really an amazing experience to come over and hear. So anyone who is really interested and can make it, please collect your passes from Kirti Kumari. She's standing there. So only if you're sure that you're going to come or you know someone who will definitely make it, because you will be allowed only by pass, and please don't let this pass go waste. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we would like to thank Rukmini Mataji by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! So before we proceed ahead, I would like to make some announcements. Before that, anybody has any question to ask to Rukmini Maharaji?
Everyone is very determined.
So, as Mataji told about the 26th January program, which is at Juhu, I am having the passes with me. Whoever is sure you are going to come, so please collect the pass from me after the kirtan. I will be standing near Prabhupada. 29th January, the most beautiful festival, one of the most beautiful festival of our temple, that is Pushya Abhishek. We will be having Lordship Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Abhishek will be full with flower petals and flowers, different flowers. You would have not even seen so many flowers ever in your life. So don't miss this festival, most beautiful festival, which is on 29th of January, exactly next Saturday. So remember this, and as usual, our next Chetna program, which is on 12th of February, and the topic is stress management, and it will be given by Dr. Komal Dalal Kishori Mataji. So remember the date, 12th February, stress management. Thank you very much. We'll have a dancing kirtan now. We are very lessened crowd today, so we can dance fully in this big place. So everybody, I request everybody to please dance. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.